Okay, thanks a lot, Elise Jones. And Kevin Sipple, you are up next, and do share what your current occupation is, since you are not an incumbent.
Okay, my name is Kevin Sipple. I'm running for county commissioner from District 1. That's kind of southwest Boulder County. However, all the commissioners are voted for by everyone in Boulder County. I've been in Boulder County since 1969. My background is in business. I was one of the founders of Eldorado Artesian Springs, Inc., a local bottled water company. It was a good place to learn how to be a county commissioner because when we bought the business in 1983, it came with the roads, the water utility, every parking spot in town, the old resort, and all the hillsides and then the other things that weren't very useful around there.
This is down in Eldorado Springs.
Yes, yeah. Eldorado Springs. I was in operations and quality control and regulatory compliance. I had to learn both the EPA regulations to run our water utility, and I was our licensed water plant operator then, and the FDA regulations to run the bottled water company with all the food safety regulations and all that. Dealt a lot with Boulder County land use over the years. We had a lot of projects to do. There was all kinds of like intricacies with the our old survey from 1908 that had a section line in one spot that looked like a pie cut, and so all the lots in town were kind of off. I've been a Boulder volunteer in Boulder County since 1992. From 92 to 2002, I was in the Placement Alternatives Commission. It's a social services appointed board by the commissioners that deals with seven programs, social services programs to keep families together. And then since 2001, I've been a sheriff's office victim advocate, and I still am. It'll probably be a conflict of interest if I get elected, but I'm still a victim advocate now.
Okay, thanks so much. And Paul Danish, welcome.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Well, I've lived in Boulder since Boulder County since 1960, if you don't count a couple of abortive escape attempts in there. I got as far as Israel once, as far as Washington, as far as San Francisco, but for some reason I always came back. It's been home. You betcha. my career has careened between journalism and politics. The journalism aspects of it. I've worked for the San Francisco Chronicle, for United Press International, freelanced for the Journal of Commerce. I currently write columns in the Boulder Weekly. I've written them in the Colorado Daily over the years. I've probably written more than 1,000 columns and editorial pieces. I've always viewed my role as trying to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable, as they say. In politics, I was elected to the Boulder City Council in 1975 and re-elected in 1977. I served 6 years. During that period, I wrote the first growth control ordinance in Colorado. It's popularly called the Danish Plan. It limited Boulder's growth to 2% a year during that period by limiting building permits, and it worked successfully. It actually did keep growth to 2% during that period. There are successor ordinances to it in place. I was appointed to the City Council, or to the Boulder County Commissioners, in 1995 to fill a vacant term from Homer Page, who had resigned to become the director of a school for the blind in Denver. I was then re-elected elected for the first time in 1996, and then re-elected in the year 2000. So I've served 9 years on the board. During that time, we bought a great deal of open space, and I guess I'll stop there for now.
If you've just joined us, you are listening to KGNU Boulder Denver, and we are hosting this morning in our continuing election 2016 coverage a debate among the candidates running for Boulder County Commissioners. We have Elise Jones and Deb Gardner, incumbents. They are being challenged respectively by Kevin Sipple and Paul Danish. They've had their opening statements now. We're going to ask each of them, I'm going to go in reverse order, to talk about what their three top priorities would be if elected. And since, Paul, you went last, I will start with you. You've served, as you said, already 9 years, quite a number of years ago. Why do you want to be on the Board of County Commissioners again, and what do you hope to accomplish?
Well, I have a number of concerns, and I was told that that was what you would like me to speak
sure.
to initially. I'd say my three main concerns here are how the present board has been handling money and how they treat public property and how they're treating people. Let me give you some examples. Boulder County's population grew by 25,000 in the last 5 years, and it'll grow by another 25,000 in the next five.
So about 8%.
Yep. Its roads are badly congested and deteriorating. Its jail currently has 250 more inmates than it was built for. And under those circumstances, I would think it should be redirecting tax revenues for road maintenance and for the improvement and alleviating of jail overcrowding, which the sheriff says has gotten so bad that the inmates are beginning to run the place. Instead, the present board wants to spend more than $100 million on so-called sustainability projects, like building a county composting facility to compete with a privately operated one, and spending more on recycling, even though it currently gives EcoCycle between $3 and $4 million a year from the county, and also on teaching farmers of all people, how to conserve water. I would submit to you that sort of spending amounts to nothing more than crony socialism. The original name for a county commissioner was a county road commissioner. I think that it's one of the things I would like to see is the present board to get back to the core duties of its job description. Roads are more important than compost. I'm also concerned about how county government treats people. The county land use department is dysfunctional. It has a waiting list to get on a waiting list. Its regulations are Kafkaesque and stupidly and arrogantly applied. People have started telling me that they are doing projects without getting permits, which means that the dysfunctionality of this department is destroying the respect for law and the legitimacy of government. Beyond that, take a look at the county roads, treatment of subdivision roads. There is no financial or rational reason for the county commissioners not to compare to repair roads in county subdivisions. I'm beginning to suspect that we are at the point where their refusal to do so has just become spite after a long fight. There is the county example of trying to build 250 units in the gun barrel area of low-income housing.
Is that the Twin Lakes property?
It is indeed. Yeah. I submit that property should self-evidently be part of the Twin Lakes open space, which is the single most heavily owned used piece of open space in the county, and which I pushed very hard for the county to buy originally, and that it is bad environmental policy and bad social policy to be building a project like that out there. As far as mismanagement of property goes, the decision to ban genetically engineered crops from county open space will have the effect of essentially making it impossible to do commercial agriculture on 25,000 acres of county-owned farmland. I'll stop there.
Okay.
But those are what kinds of concerns that I have, and I'll certainly address them in more detail as we go on.
And I think it seems only fair to have you, Deb, against whom Paul is running, to respond directly to those. Does that make sense?
Sure. Thanks, Liz. I guess first I'd like to talk about what my priorities are
yep.
going forward. And the number one priority still remains flood recovery in Boulder County. We're really just about at the point where we're spending about half of what we expected to spend, about $100 million is about what we're at now in terms of flood recovery, and particularly with regard to roads that we're rebuilding. We're still building permanent roads, and we still have people that need to get back home, and we still have people that need help with their rehabilitation of their homes.
3 years later.
3 years later. And we're still working with people to buy out their homes in places where they're in high hazard places. And so that still has to remain a priority for us, and it's all taken longer than we expected for a variety of reasons, but it's still a number one priority for me. Number two, I think, is always going to be how do we solve our issue around affordable housing. It's certainly, we're in a crisis mode here in Boulder County, and one of the projects, obviously, that we could address is the opportunity in Twin Lakes, where we bought that land with the intention of being able to build affordable housing there, and we're working through that process, and my hope and intention would be that at the end of that process, we're able to build affordable housing there in a way that is actually augmenting and a positive thing for the neighbors as opposed to a negative thing.
Where is that process?
Where we are in that process right now is the Boulder County Valley plan, comp plan update, and so we're working through that, and it will next be voted on by the Boulder County Planning Commission, mm-hmm. then the Boulder Commission, then back to the city for that process. And that is a land use process at this point, and then if that land becomes annexed into the city, then we'll work through the process of what is really appropriate and compatible for that neighborhood. We've gone through that process several times in other locations throughout the county and been successful and actually got to the point where the neighbors are consider it to be an amenity to their neighbor, not a detriment. Mm-hmm. And I think the third really big thing that we need to be working on is continuing our work on climate change, that at least talked about some of the work we're doing around sustainability and the grid work we've done around Energy Smart and helping businesses and individuals have additional energy efficiency in their home. But I think it's time to take that up a notch. And last night I was at a meeting of the Citizens for Climate Lobbying, and it's a great national group that we have a local chapter of. And taking that conversation to the national level and at the state level with the climate action group that we've got forming here in the state is where we're going to change the bigger picture for that.
Okay, thanks so much. And I guess, Kevin, I'll ask you to go first identifying your three priorities and then have Elise respond to those.
Okay, well, my three priorities they're related to some of the things we've already just heard about. They're a little more general. Fiscal responsibility would, I think, be my top one. And that sounds like just a political buzzword, but it's sort of, in my opinion, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves on the county budget. It's grown from $150 million to $420 million in the last 10 years or so, and it's going to keep growing. That's a lot of extra money. It's not going to the places where it originally was set to go. The road issue, for instance, in the late 90s, 8% of the county property taxes were spent on road and bridge maintenance, and that's over the years come down to 0.75%. At the same time, the money has been accumulating in things that are called commissioners' discretionary funds. Apparently, a few years ago, there were a few lawsuits by some of the citizens' groups. I think the road group, BOCO firm, and then apparently the money started kind of moving around in different accounts. It supposedly is impossible to use that money on roads, but I would ask why. Why is it impossible? Just a small percentage of it would fix all the roads in Boulder County all at once. In addition, by statute, half of the property tax money for the road and bridge account is supposed to go to the cities in the county, and that hasn't happened in years. And their roads are actually, they're taking pretty good care of them, but there's still problems with the Boulder County, with the city of Boulder and Louisville and Lafayette roads also, and they could use some of that extra money. So the road issue is a part of that. Boulder County land use would be another one of my issues. There's a lot of good people that try hard in the department. They're doing a really good job on the agriculture department, and they're taking pretty good care of the farmers. They've been instructed to figure out a way to eliminate GMO crops within 5 years. I think there's probably 4.5 years left now. I'm not exactly sure. Then there's a lot of
view on that.
Say that
what
again,
is
please.
Your view on GMO planting.
My GMO planting is, that's the science of farming these days. The farmers that are using it are using the advanced forms of farming. It's hard to make money being a farmer in Boulder County or probably anywhere, but in Boulder County it is. It's hard for them to move their equipment up and down the roads. And although there are a few organic farms doing it, it's not really practical to like grow commercial corn and then have to have people walking up each row weeding it. It just isn't practical, especially the really large corn fields. They need the GMOs to help them fight the pests and weeds. Organic farmers actually use pesticides and herbicides. They just put it on manually or with machines instead of having it come with the seeds and grow into the plant. So that's really not that different, whichever kind you use. But let's see. And another kind of general thing, I guess my third main issue, rule of law. I think the government should follow the law. There's kind of a climate all over America now, right from the president all the way down to county land use staff. They feel entitled to make the laws up that they prefer to enforce, especially in some of the county departments. Since starting this campaign, I've heard 100 horror stories from people just trying to get a new garage built or a shed on the back of their house. And just yesterday, even I heard kind of along the lines of sustainability that I think of sustainability is that when you build a culvert, you build it out of good cement and it's supposed to last 100 years. Sustainability has all kinds of meanings, though, and somebody was just telling me yesterday, and I'm not even soliciting these stories, they just tell me when they hear what I'm doing, about how he had built a house in Lyons. He couldn't, he put his shed in on cement pillars, he had to pull it up, but the most interesting thing is he was forced to put a charging station for an electric car in his garage. He doesn't have an electric car and doesn't have any plans to buy one. So I guess that's probably enough time for now.
Okay, thank you so much, Kevin Sipple, and we will go now to Elise Jones.
All right, thanks, Liz. There are a number of challenges that we face, but I'm going to mention three. Top of my list has to be climate change. Boulder County knows firsthand what a challenge this is because we've had record-breaking flood and wildfire disasters in the last 5 years, and we just had a very grim reminder with the Cold Springs fire this summer. We know what's on the forecast for us, which is more frequent and intense droughts and wildfires, less water, and I really don't think inaction is an option. So we need to transition to a clean energy future, which means more renewables, more energy efficiency, more electric vehicles. I've talked a little bit about our sustainability priorities, but I want to respond to some of the criticism. Sustainability is a widely held value in this county. Nearly three quarters of folks, when you poll them, say that this is a very important priority for the county. We've done an independent analysis. For every dollar we put into sustainability, we get a $5 return to the county in terms of jobs, savings on utility bills, and reinvestment into our community. It makes sense, and it's good for the climate, and it's going to help us long term. And we have put on the ballot Measure 1C to provide long term funding for these programs without raising taxes. Second on my list would be affordable housing. Deb spoke very well to this. This is a crisis that's impacting not only Boulder County, but the entire metro area. It's top of the list. We have here in the county 40,000 people that spend more than half of their paychecks trying to pay their rent bills every month. It's a moral and economic imperative that we deal with this. It's a difficult issue. There's no one silver bullet, but I think through regional collaboration, we can get there. Part of it, as Deb mentioned, is looking for appropriate infill sites where we can place new housing. The Boulder County Housing Authority has a great track record of that with Josephine Commons and Aspenwall in Lafayette and the Kestrel development that's being done in Louisville. I think working together, we can find additional spots. Third on my list is multimodal transportation. Housing and transportation are typically the two top costs of every household. So dealing with transportation, giving people options, making sure they're affordable is key. We need to keep building on our multimodal transportation system. We have moved far with that on Highway 36. We need to expand that to the diagonal, to Highway 7, to Highway 287, so people can get where they need to go. And part of that is making it affordable. So I've been working with county staff and municipalities around the county on trying to see if we can expand the EcoPass program like we've done in Lyons and Longmont and Nederland. Now it's going to be on the ballot in Lafayette so that people can get where they need to go in an affordable fashion.
Okay. Well, thanks to all the candidates for that. And it is conveniently just now coming up on 9 o'clock. So I want to remind listeners that you are listening to KGNU Boulder Denver, 88.5 FM and 1390 AM with translator K229AC in Nederland, Colorado at 93.7 megahertz. I'm Liz Lane, and I am moderating a debate among four candidates running for two county commissioner seats. These elections will be on the November ballot. We have Paul Danish challenging incumbent Deb Gardner and Kevin Sipple, also Republican candidate. Paul Danish is a Republican candidate. Kevin Sipple challenging Elise Jones. If you want to ask a question of either the incumbents or their challengers, you can do that by calling 303-442-4242, or you can email a question at dj@kgnu.org. I'd like to follow up a little bit on Paul Danish's point about the county jail and what the incumbents at the table, who are Deb Gardner and Elise Jones, your response to his, a number of us obviously have read the concerns of the sheriff and others about the conditions in the jail, the overcrowding and the just the human conditions in there, let alone sort of who is in charge and safety. But address that if you would, and what budget plans might be in place in the coming year to alleviate that, either through new construction or new ways of managing the population, including releasing people who might not be in there for violent offenses.
Thanks, Liz. I'll
Deb Gardner.
This is Deb Gardner, and I'm sure Elise will have additional things to add. I think two or three things are really happening that are really important right now. There was a study in terms of the personnel that were at the jail and that we received the information from, and I think two big things came out of there: that the people that are in the jail right now have a tendency to have a lot of mental health issues and substance abuse issues, and that it has created a different population in the jail than used to be.
This is a national issue.
This is a national issue, but it's also true here in Boulder County for sure, and that about 40% of the people in the jail really are more difficult to manage than they used to. And so the staffing study came out, and it said that we really need more people, more deputies, and more people working in the jail to be able to help manage that difficult population. And so we're through the budget process now. The sheriff will be putting forth a request to the commissioners for additional staffing at the jail. And while we can't make any decisions now yet today, through that process, our expectation is that we'll be able to approve additional staffing at the jail to help manage that population. But I think that's the short-term solution. We'll also be looking at additional construction inside the jail to be able to help manage the population better. But I think we need to take a longer view with this. And right now we're in the midst of doing a study similar to what happened with the justice system in Mesa County that was very successful in looking at the whole continuum of the justice system to find where are there ways along that continuum to either have people move in and out of the jail more quickly, but probably more importantly, be able to have people diverted from the jail that don't belong there, either before they're arrested, which would be the EDGE program that we're using now. How do we find a way to expand that so people get diverted from going to jail because they really have a mental health issue? And two, how do we be able to have programs, and or probably will mean having additional beds in some way or another that addresses the mental health issue for the people that are in the jail and get them the help that they actually need, and rather than having them incarcerated in a place where they don't belong.
I'd like to respond to that.
Okay, that's fine. Paul. Paul Danish, please.
For the last 3 years, the sheriff has been going to the commissioners and asking them to build an alternative sentencing facility, which would have 300 beds and would be able to divert the people who are in there, who in fact are in there for relatively minor offenses, and to give them training. And for 3 years, the commissioners have been blowing him off each time and doing nothing but studying and then proposing more studies after the studies. This project should have been underway. Ground should have been broken at least a year ago.
Okay,
as far as the crowding goes, that could be solved rather quickly by taking some money out of the general fund and paying to house 100 inmates or 150 inmates in other people's jails. And instead of letting the problem fester there until somebody gets killed, guards are being attacked, just solve it for once. You know, if you were to just reduce the population to what it ought to be, and then keep it like that if you have to pay extra money until you got a new facility built, problem would be solved, and you don't have to spend all that time talking about studying and, hiring some more people. Just do it.
Elise Jones.
I'd like to respond. It's funny to argue with a Republican about fiscal conservatism, but I think what Mr. Danish doesn't realize is that we've been coming out of an economic recession, and we've been paying hundreds of millions of dollars on flood recovery. And so we have to manage our budget very fiscally responsibly, and rather than just throw money at a capital construction project, we need to understand what's the problem and the solution. And we're not seeing an increase in crime. We're not seeing an increase in arrests. What we're seeing is people are moving through the judicial system much more slowly. So let's fix the system. Our long-term goals are public safety and trying to reduce reoffense and make sure justice is served and that we're serving our community. And so we need to know what are the pieces that need to be fixed. As Deb mentioned, the three-part solution is adding more staffing to the jail, which we're looking at in this budget, because this is a year where we can actually afford that kind of thing. We are looking at making capital adjustments, modifications to the existing jail to make it function more safely. And then we're looking at the long-term system to figure out where throughout the entire piece of the judicial system, where are the bottlenecks so that people aren't getting stuck, that the people that aren't violent offenders can move through more quickly, and that we can serve our goals of public safety and reducing recidivism.
I just want to give Kevin Sipple an opportunity to talk about the jail situation, if you'd like. Otherwise, I'll move on to another topic.
No, I'd be happy to address that. The jail, it's the one problem. It might help a little, some more staffing. It for sure would. However, the crowding is the main issue. If you put a bunch of cute little rabbits, if you put 20 rabbits in a 10-rabbit cage, they're going to be fighting. The crowding is a main issue, and something has to be done about that to cure the situation. Deb Gardner mentioned about the mental illness is true. The populations are younger and more disturbed than they used to be. Boulder County in general is sort of overrun right now by a young homeless crowd that is basically responsible for that last big fire that we had up near Nederland. And there's probably
those
more
were people
coming
from out of town. I believe those folks were
from
Alabama or Arkansas.
There's
Alabama.
Thousands of them already. And low-income housing for them, for instance, it might keep them out of jail. One more thing about the jail. There's the district attorney's office and the sheriff's office share a restorative justice program, which is the primary purpose. It's a pretty active program, is to keep people out of jail. They do, like, conferences with the victims and the offenders and work out contracts. And then if the offender meets the contract, and they're not that hard to meet, he or she will stay out of jail.
Okay, I do want to move on to another topic, and I want to address this to the Democrat incumbents, and it's actually something that you brought up, Mr. Danish, which had to do with the the future use or the proposed use of about a quarter of the budget. The budget's $420 million. And Mr. Danish identified the either planned allocation or perhaps it's more than planned allocation of $100 million. So a quarter of the annual budget to a number of things, including a county composting facility and working programs to educate farmers on water conservation. So I'd like you to just respond to the accuracy of that, those dollars and allocated for those projects, and if you how you defend those as priorities in the budget.
That's not in the annual $100 million. That's $100 million over a 15-year period by the diversion of a tax.
Okay. So if you guys want to respond to that specifically.
Yeah, just to clarify, those numbers of $100 million aren't correct at all. I think that Mr. Danish was criticizing the use of county dollars for things like assisting with water conservation, which I would point out is something that's very, very important for the farmers as we see less and less water available for farming. It's something that they appreciate, and that is a top priority if you poll county residents what we're doing on the farmland. And it's a relatively small amount of money, and it's matched by federal dollars, but to help put in center pivot irrigations that help use existing water supplies more efficiently and helps increase crop production. I don't know very many people that think that that's a bad idea at all. With regards to composting and other facilities, Deb can speak to that more than I do. I tend to recuse myself on that because my sister runs EcoCycle, so okay. I don't get too involved
Thanks
in
that.
But we're not spending that kind of money on that, no.
The maybe another thing to be good to clarify would be that, you know, if the voters are kind enough to pass the 1C, the extension of the open space tax for sustainability, then yes, some of that money would be used for programs that would go to reducing waste in the county. And one of those pieces is compost, that we know that we can have additional composting within the county, which is a good thing in a lot of ways. But there isn't any intention at this point to build a composting facility. Western has additional capacity where they are. I'm currently have met last week and I'm going to meet again with the owners of Western to have that conversation. So there isn't any plan to build another facility, although I know that's out there, but that doesn't happen to be the truth. And I think if this tax is able to pass, there's a lot of measures that we'd be able to work on in terms of it's mostly increasing the capacity of the programs that have been very successful, as Elise talked about, and really a good investment in the community, and that for every dollar we spend, we get $5 back in economic development.
Kevin, do you want to respond to that?
I'll respond to that issue also. I actually am pleased to hear they're talking to Western about doing it. It didn't make much sense to me for the county to build its own facility to compete with a private company that was already doing it. Along the lines of energy and alternative energy, that the issue is, I guess there's a word, fracking.
Great segue.
Yeah, it's a great segue to my next topic. But go ahead, you can.
Okay, fracking, it isn't a dirty word. It's just a process where you push sand and water down the hole, and it keeps the fissures open so that more gas and oil will come out efficiently without having to drill another well right next to it. All wells are fracked, even water wells. They're done on a regular basis, or eventually the cracks fill up and the wells stop working. It's an efficient way to do it. Besides that, there's one really big issue with the fossil fuel industry that it isn't talked about very much, and that's I'm actually all for wind power and solar power and hydropower. The solar power was always one of my favorites. My first science project in sixth grade was making a little solar powered place. But if you build this many megawatts out of a wind towers and solar farm to make this much power, you still have to have enough fossil fuel to cover it, because one of these days we're going to have a five-day blizzard and there isn't going to be any sun for 5 days. Or in the fall we could have a five-day rainstorm like the big floods of 2013. And then you need the backup power, otherwise people's heaters will go off and they'll have brownouts.
We do have a couple people on the line wanting to ask questions, so I want to give them an opportunity. Mike in Denver is on the line. Hi, Mike. Good morning.
Hi. I'd like to ask both the gentlemen about the glyphosate use on the open lands. I understand this is one of the things that you're advocating for farmers, but the thing is that that's been found to be a carcinogenic. Well, that's the question.
Okay, thanks so much, Mike. I'll get your answers offline. Thanks for the call. And a reminder, if you have a question, you can call 303-442-4242 and ask one of four candidates running for county commissioners your question. Paul, do you want to respond to that?
I do. Glyphosate is better known as Roundup. It's one of the most widely used pesticides in the world. Almost everyone has said it is safe. There is one exception of a study in Europe that was done by a minor organization of the UN. It has been since challenged by many, many different people. Roundup is...
Would this be the study that Mike is referring to?
Yes,
that would be a carcinogen?
That would be the only one. I think it is a particularly interesting point that that be brought up, because if you do not use Roundup-ready crops, you cannot do things like minimum till agriculture. And minimum till agriculture means that you can use far less pesticides. It means you do a lot less plowing, which means it saves diesel. It means you put a lot less carbon dioxide into the air by virtue of that plowing. And it means you save about 15 or 20% of the water you would ordinarily use. So it is in every way more sustainable. The fact that the commissioners have chosen not to do that, I think, makes a mockery of their claim that they're interested in sustainability. By the way, the business of... I'm really glad to hear that they're talking about center pivot irrigation as their water conservation measure instead of teaching farmers. All I know is what I read in the newspapers about this, and the claim was made at the time that this proposal was put on the ballot that it would be for teaching farmers about how to use water, that it would be for building a composting facility, that it would be for giving more money to recycling. The story seems to be changing now as we go along. Well, I'm glad to know that people are learning, but I think also what you're seeing here is that this is not so much about sustainability as it is about getting additional money for essentially crony socialism.
Deb and Elise.
Where to begin? So with regards to GMOs, let's put it in context. The county has 25,000 acres of croplands. Roughly 1,500 acres of those are planted in GMO sugar beets or corn in any given year by roughly 8 farmers. And we recently made the decision to transition away from GMOs, not because GMOs involve genetic engineering per se, but because they guarantee continued use of pesticides, and that all genetically modified seeds are basically controlled research developed by about 6 multinational companies that control basically what our farmers can grow using GMOs. That's right. And I don't think our public open space should be managed by Monsanto. These are lands that were bought with taxpayer dollars. There should be a higher public purpose. So we are moving forward with a multi-year transition plan to transition to the most sustainable agriculture. Mr.
So
Danish,
to turn over those 1,500 acres farmed by those 8 farmers to transition those
to work with
out.
Those farmers, yeah. Not to get, we want, we no farmer left behind. Work with those farmers to transition to the most sustainable agriculture we can. And as key to that, it's investing in research of no-till organic operations, looking at carbon sequestration using farmlands, looking at new crops that will both meet our sustainability goals and assure a profit to our local farmers. We are dedicated to both farmers and local food production, and we think that the county open space is a great place to really pioneer that.
So we have a full bevy of callers, which I want, and they're all out in the East County, so I want to make sure to get to them. But go ahead, Deb, if you want to just address that, follow up on Elise's comment.
Well, sure. I'd just like to say that it's really a false choice to say that the only option if we're not growing GMO crops is to move backwards in our sustainability movement. And that is absolutely not true. As Elise pointed out, going forward, our intention and our ability, and it's proven in other places in the country, we just need to be able to test more of it here in Boulder County, is to be able to have more better soil health and to have more carbon sequestration, really reverse the curve in what we're doing in terms of carbon. And right now, the process, if we were to stick with the way we're doing things now, there is a continual expansion of carbon, but we could move actually to better soil health and actually sequestering and reversing some of the carbon and climate change.
So, and I just want to ask Kevin, you know, directly, if you are elected county commissioner, will you work to change this intention to have these 1,500 acres transitioned away from genetically modified seeds to keep them that way? Would that be your intention and your action if you're elected?
It would be my action. For instance, sugar beets have been a major crop in Boulder County since the turn of the last century. They would all be gone because there's almost no such thing as sugar beets that aren't GMO. There's also one of the issues on the seeds. There are non-GMO farmers that still buy the seeds brand new every year. You'd think that all farmers would want to replant seeds that they grew themselves, but they don't. It's cheaper and better for them. Like, for instance, the giant wheat farm on top of Gun Barrel Hill. They don't use GMO seeds, but they buy new seeds every year instead of saving some of their crop and planting it. So there's other reasons. Even though the ownership of the genetic material, like Monsanto does a lot, isn't that great, it still is a net benefit to the industry. Another thing about GMOs, is used almost like another dirty word to indicate something bad. People have been modifying genetic organisms for 10,000 years. If it's through selective breeding, not necessarily genetic modification in a lab, but the tomatoes we eat wouldn't be big, red, juicy things if people hadn't been messing with nature all these years, many thousands of years.
Okay, I'm going to go to the phones. Thanks a lot, okay. Kevin. So, Dick in Lafayette, good morning. You're on the air. Hi, Dick. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, I'd like to pose a question, I guess. I'm not, maybe to all the commissioners, and make some comments. The former caller that brought up the carcinogenic effects of Roundup, that decision has been reversed. I am a farmer. Secondly, I'd like to have Elise respond when I get done. When she met with the farmers, she said that she had a $425 million budget and to pull $1 million or $2 million out to subsidize the conventional farmers. They say there's only eight farmers, but these eight farmers farm most of the conventional open space. And they, by the way, they're long-term farm families that have been in this county much longer than Elise or Deb or probably any of the county commissioners. And when they sold their farms or their parents sold their farms, they were promised by Ron Stewart to be able to farm their farms in a way that they know best. Now all of a sudden, the county commissioners have made the farming practices a political process to get elected, and I just think that's wrong. But Elise's comment that when I've got a $425 million budget and if I need to take $1 million or $2 million and subsidize the current farmers for the money that they'll lose doing wise farming doesn't speak well to her comments that we've been in a budget crunch and we can't fix the jails because we don't have any money. The other thing is the pivot that...
Dick, I'm going to ask you to just get a question out because there are two other people waiting to call, and we only have 7 minutes. So
okay.
I think we know his question.
Okay.
This is Dick Miller. He leases a Boulder County open space.
Thank you, Dick.
And he took it upon himself to mow into his corn maze vote for Paul Danish. So I think we know where his political proclivities lie. I don't think that, Dick, I never said that I would spend $1 million or $2 million on subsidizing farmers. But what we did say is we're absolutely committed to leaving no farmer behind and working with all of our farmers on all of our open space to transition to the most sustainable practices we can. And we recognize that that will take some resources, and the county's committed to that.
Okay, I want to go to Rod in Longmont and get all these questions out on the table. Hi, Rod. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Hey, I just have a couple comments for all these yahoos
sure.
who are trying to get elected. First of all, the one thing for Paul Danish, you need to do some research with Mark Jacobson of Stanford University. He has shown with some of the new technologies they can store electricity so we can get the hell off of frack gas. Now, the other thing about glyphosate, I really appreciate all the local farmers in my area, the generational ones, because they've done a great job. We do need to work with them on transitioning our ag land to regenerative farming to sequester the carbon, because that's how we're going to cure the planet. Now, large corporations are going to have to start buying carbon credits, and so if we have to turn it into rangeland, we can do that or whatever. That's how we can do that. Everybody that's listening, they vote with their dollars. So if you're buying refined sugar, you're helping Monsanto. So, you know, it's a problem that we all got to participate in, and we all need to work together on. That just seems to be a lot of things that everybody wants what they want, but nobody wants to work together, and we really need to do that.
Question? Do you have a question, Rob?
Yeah, and then just a couple comments.
Okay.
And that was a question about Mark Jacobson with the renewable energy, but also to the rest of the county commissioners. You know, the open space land belongs to we, the people. And so if it's a majority, this is how democracy works. If a majority of the people don't want GMOs and we all communally own the property, I guess we got to follow the wishes of the people, regardless if it's bad or good in the long run. But I think transitioning and building our soil, one last thing about glyphosate, they don't, you know, it has nothing to do with GMOs, but they do not kill weeds. What they do is they restrict the uptake of the nutrients. That's how it kills the weeds. We're finding that and finding it in every kind of food. We're living beings, so you wonder why people are sick, because they can't uptake the nutrients in the food because there's so much glyphosate in the foods. And that's all I have to say.
Okay, thanks for your comments, Rod. And before I move on to Julian, I know that all of our listeners want to hear all the candidates address fracking, address the moratorium on new applications, address perhaps what the Colorado Supreme Court's view is. So I'm going to start with Kevin over here and have you, just give your view on it. We only have 4 minutes left in the program. So go ahead.
I'll be fast. A couple of basic points on the fracking. It's I've lost my thought here. The issue on fracking is it is sustainable. We have to have the fossil fuels. It's just fine, and it's actually a good idea. We want to conserve our natural resources as much as possible and keep as much of the carbohydrates out of the atmosphere so we don't breathe them. I drive a Prius. My car gets 47 miles a gallon, and I'm pretty happy to use less of the country's resources.
So you would be in favor of lifting the moratorium and have applications for new leases processed as they were before?
I would. And
okay.
I actually would like to say one more thing. I know they meant well, but we know it's against the law now. And if we end up in a court case on it, there's a precedent. There's no reason to have that anymore. It should have been ended.
Okay, Elise Jones.
Well, so let's be clear. We had in place a moratorium till July 2018 because we wanted to find out what the public health research was showing. Recent data shows that benzene levels, and benzene's a known carcinogen, are 7 times higher in our region than the state's predicting. Air toxics is a huge issue. People have a right to be concerned. So the Supreme Court said our moratorium wouldn't hold. So we ended that one. We put in place a short-term moratorium till the near the end of the year in order to allow us to update our regulations to provide the strongest possible protections to air and water quality and public health. Oil and gas is the only land use where local governments don't have a say over if, when, and where it happens. Marijuana, mining, gravel, development, they all obey local regulations. Oil and gas is the sole exception, and that's why we need to change and get more local control.
Okay, Deb Gardner.
The I was on the board when we first put the moratorium in place back in February of 2012. We've had multiple hearings with hundreds of people come and talk to us. It's very clear that the majority of folks in Boulder County are in favor of us having regulations that are protect the environment, protect their own safety, protect the land around their house, protect the water, protect their children. And we're working very, very hard in putting in place new regulations that will do just exactly that, and working with our partners around the state to be able to get legislation down at the State House to be able to have local control, just as Elise said, around this issue. It's incredible.
So, will you work on that if you are reelected?
Absolutely.
Going forward, right? And Paul Danish, final 30 seconds on fracking.
If you don't like fracking, chances are you like shedding American blood for foreign oil. Beyond that, if you don't like fracking in Boulder County, there is only one way to stop it, and that is to buy out the leases, the majority, the largest number of which are on county open space, incidentally. The county inherited them when they bought the open space. And I would propose, if you really don't like it, do the same thing we did for acquiring the open space in the first place, and that is buy the leases. And the way you do that is there's two possible revenue streams. One is you ask the people to pass an underground open space tax. The other one is to take the royalties that Boulder County would get from the drilling of wells and use those to buy out leases in areas where you don't want drilling to take place.
So would you pursue that if elected?
Oh, yes.
Okay, it is 9:30. The hour's gone fast. We had a lot of callers, and I appreciate all of them. And I want to thank Kevin Sipple, Republican candidate for county commissioner, running against incumbent Democrat Elise Jones. Paul Danish, Republican challenger, running for county commissioner, challenging Democrat incumbent Deb Gardner. We might gather you all again as the election season goes on, but thank you so much for your time and preparation today. It was a pleasure. Coming up next, Ginger Perry in the Morning Sound Alternative. For KGNU, I'm Liz Lane.